Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
Is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Abbott, and it's a beautiful Thursday morning, the 29th of January, joined here, of course, by the producer, Frosty.
Good morning.
You ready?
Yeah, are you?
Hey, yeah. And, of course, Soulmate. How you doing there? Are you ready?
I like that being my call.
Sign.
Yeah.
Everybody has call signs.
You know? It really is. You know, there's a few things that we're going to cover today. Unfortunately, our guest today is not feeling well, and so we'll...
Patricia Barrett. Yeah, in fact, I think she went to the hospital.
Right, but we'll still be taking your calls regarding REU and whatever issues you've got regarding that. But we're going to be covering a wide variety of things. First of all, we'd like to congratulate. Today, history was made with Lilly Ledbetter.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Lilly Ledbetter.
I mean, 10
signed,
years.
Signed... by the president this morning.
10 years this woman tried to get this bill passed.
Right.
As far as what happened for her was really not just.
Well, okay. It's about equality. And what it was is a lady named Lilly Ledbetter, who worked for, I think, Goodyear, as a plant manager. When she found out after she retired that she was not making the same pay for running that plant as other as men were for running, doing exactly the same job. So she sued in court. Supreme Court said, sorry, according to the law, you've got 180 days to file your lawsuit. Well, what this does is it says that it's each check that you get from the company or from wherever you're working at extends that by 180 days. So if it happens in 2002, let's say, you were hired by a company and you were discriminated against, and it's not just, by the way, for gender. It's anything, religion, race, anything.
Well,
that at the end of that, then you can sue.
Well, they were finding that women were getting 70 cents to the dollar for every man making a dollar. That's a significant difference.
But see, you've got to take a look at this at the overall thing, too, though, huh? I mean, it's not just the job they're doing. Sometimes it was the amount of time they have in the job. It's a lot of times that some women were taking off, or they chose not to work at certain jobs because they were raising their families. Now, not in every case. But you've got to look at the whole picture, and if it's... I have 100% agree. If a woman's doing the same job as a man, as they are in the military, they should be paid exactly the same.
Well, anyway, so kudos and congratulations, because this is truly a wonderful bill for our new president of the United States to sign, and it's the first step in equality. 10 years she's been trying to get this bill passed, and there it is. And it's named after her. The Ledbetter Bill.
Well, we can just get equality at Guantanamo Bay, then we're going to be doing okay. Hey, look, we've got the phone lines backed up already. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know... it's a good thing you people cannot see what's going on in this studio at this
time.
Hurry up
and just
bring
us in.
Never believe it. Okay. Today we're going to be talking about a number of things. You know, one of the things that's hit the news was that 93-year-old man freezing to death because the electric company modulated his electricity, and this gentleman, a World War II veteran, died. So we've got a few calls on here. We're talking about REU. So let's start with Valerie. Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for waiting.
Oh, no problem. I've been doing some research and have found that REU is charging exorbitant late fees and reconnection fees, sometimes as much or over $1,500, where PG&E's reconnection fee is never any higher than $37.
Wow.
And if you need to pay a deposit after you're shut off by PG&E, they'll even set up a payment plan.
Well, now, does PG&E shut off your power?
For non-payment, they will shut it off if you don't take the initiative to ask them for a payment plan, but when they reconnect, they'll do it the same day. For all you have to do is pay the unpaid balance just to get it turned on.
Okay, well, now I think that, see, what if I understand what REU does is you've got to pay the unpaid balance, you've got to pay the $89 if it's during the day or something like that, $50-something, and then $89 if it's after. And then there's also another twice the amount of the average bill.
Yeah.
That's where the big bucks comes in, right?
I believe so.
I'll say that because so it sounds like PG&E and Redding Utility do the same thing except for
the amount
there. And that's where I understand that's where it's hit a lot of people.
Yeah, the other stuff I found out is that REU, being a public-owned utility, they're supposed to be not-for-profit. So I'd like to know, what is the city and REU doing with the huge sums of money they're collecting from people?
Well, you know, that $2.1 million for late fees, which, you know, a lot of people... I mean, that to me is staggering. Staggering. $2.1 million late fees.
Yeah,
and by the way,
ridiculous.
I have my electric bill in my pocket right now. It's due tomorrow, okay? I'm going to take it down. I'm going to stick it in the envelope. I've got the envelope, got the check. I'm sticking it in the little box.
Inside.
And if it doesn't get there, wait till next week. We will really be talking about this one. So anyway,
my other point was I just think that REU and the city of Redding absolutely have to remember that REU, being a public utility, is actually owned by the ratepayers, and that because of this reason, the people of the community and our well-being should be their priority. And throwing them out of their houses and making the reconnection so prohibitive is not looking after our well-being.
Yeah, well, you know what? I got an email from a lawyer named Walter P. McNeil. He used to do abatement things for the city, not for electricity. In fact, he said he would refuse to do that. And hopefully that Walter will call in later on. We can talk about this letter he wrote to the city. And if not, I will read parts of it to everybody. But it's essentially what you're saying. Plus, I've had other people send me things. Russell Hunt has sent me a number of things saying it's illegal to do this.
Yeah, I believe it is. I'm still, looking up codes. I'm just really interested in this, being an REU ratepayer.
Yeah.
It worries me. I sit there and wonder, should I pay my mortgage or my REU?
Well, I think it's got to be, here's what I think. Okay, it all goes back to the city council. The city council can very quickly say, hey, look, until we get some kind of agreement on what's going on, we're going to do an abatement on throwing people out.
Exactly.
And they've got this committee set up, and a committee, I have a real... Sometimes I have problems with committees because they come out with things you never even thought they'd come out with. But why can't we have a moratorium and throw anybody out till we figure this out and then let the city council say, hey, look, here's what we want to do to take care of our citizens that are trying. Again, that word is important, that are trying to play inside the system and work at it.
Yeah, well, if they just did payment plans for the people who are trying, people would still have their utilities and REU would still get their money.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Valerie, thank you so much for your phone call. We got the phone lines backed up. We got to go to the next one.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye.
Jim,
yes.
I understand it's a little bit different, but let's go for it. You just cut him off. Hey, Jim, call me back. We just managed to cut you off right there. So we'll go to Steve. Steve, you're on.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you guys this morning?
Great. We're great. What's on your mind?
Well, yeah, I attended the city council meeting on the 20th, and it was very well attended by the public, but I kind of have a problem with a little bit of the information that was used by Mr. Hamilton, and I'd just like to address two things I found. In his presentation, he showed a video of an apartment fire that happened in Adams, Massachusetts. The video was, approximately 40 seconds long soundbite that had stated that there was a candle fire in the apartment building, which was absolutely correct. Well, once I got to looking into the video, it actually was a terrible holiday accident. The chief of police in Adams, the state fire marshal, and the local fire marshal all stated that it was a tragic accident. Nowhere in the press, nowhere in the city, nowhere in the state officials did anybody mention that this fire was caused by the lack of utilities in this apartment. Well, the major problem I have with this is, well, just before Mr. Hamilton did his presentation, up behind him on the big screen, there's a slide. and the slide has a quote that says short video slash occupancy without power. There's a graphic of a burning building. You know, there's a parent holding a child's hand while they're watching this building come down.
Uh-huh.
This video he showed had absolutely nothing to do with a building that caught on fire due to the lack of occupancy or due to the lack of power in that particular building.
When they came onto our show, they brought several examples of fires in the last 4 or 5 years that have been caused by people burning candles and things like this, but in this area. However, I agree with you. You know, if you're gonna show facts and you're going to do these things, you know, let's use facts that are from this area that are true, etc.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good, really good point. Thanks a lot.
And
Steve.
I don't know, whoever did this for Mr. Hamilton should be awarded an Academy Award for the best misleading producer in a short video, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, really? Is that over Al Gore?
Pardon me?
Is that more than Al Gore?
In my opinion, yes.
Oh, okay.
Al Gore's national or local.
Okay, that's right. You got it. This is a local Pulitzer Prize for this.
Exactly. And you know, you brought up the point also about the statistics about candle fires in Reading. Well, you know, there actually were four deaths related to usage of different types of heating and electrical. But of those four deaths, there was only three instances in this 4-year period that Mr. Hamilton spoke of.
Right.
One of them was a terrible thing that happened in Shingletown, but an elderly couple that were using a generator in their garage during a snowstorm that knocked out power to Shingletown area, about a couple hundred people.
Hey, Steve, I hate to break in on you, but we are 3 minutes late on our break that we have to take right here.
Okay,
I
great.
Sure
well,
appreciate
thank you very
the phone
much
calls,
for allowing me the time to speak.
And no.
Absolutely.
You're the reason we have this show.
And thanks for being a
thank
great
you.
Caller.
Thank you.
You're the good guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye. Hey, this is Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio. Let's join us on the other side.
Welcome back. This is Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Just remember, we are streaming live, KQMS.com. Make sure you go to KQMS.com. Check it out. You could be at work and be listening to us live. You don't have to necessarily be in the car or listening to the radio. You can listen through your computer. Also, that'll take you to FreeFireRadio.com where you can email us anytime. We love to hear what you have to say. Just remember, you don't have to like really be sweet, but you don't have to be mean either.
And this portion of our show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley got the finest collection of cigars and tobacco products in the North State. Not only that, with Espresso Joe's, they can give you any type of coffee you want, any type of mix you want, and it's at real reasonable prices. Joe and Shelley, local business, great Americans. Jim, good morning. Did I drop you before?
Yeah, that happens anyway. Yeah,
it happens with us a lot.
It wasn't on purpose, sorry.
No, Steve is trying to punch the button at the same time here. So.
All right. Well, anyway, yesterday I had the wonderful pleasure of watching the Patriot Riders, the motorcycle people that do all the things for the people that are left in the crematoriums and so forth,
right,
and not recognized.
Yeah, the Missing in America Project,
right.
Patriot Guard, New Guard Riders, American Legion, yes,
right,
sir.
Where
they
were you?
They grabbed a hold of a busload of kids from Sacred Heart, took them out to the cemetery, Veterans Cemetery. They had an actual burial for them. They took them around, showed them, so forth, and there must have been 30 or 40 cars from the parents and so forth, along with probably 25 or 30 bikers. It was a wonderful thing to behold. But what I called you about was one of these human interest things. We're going out, and we turn left at Happy Valley Road by the school, and we come down there, and there were two fellows working out in their farmyard. One guy was wheeling something. The other guy took off his hat and stood at attention while the flags passed.
No.
And I mean, it got to me.
It's the way that the people are here in the North State.
It's unbelievable. And somebody, I don't know the man's name, don't know anything about him, but people should know there are people like that.
There are many, many people like that here, Jim. That's one of the reasons that we're here, is the type of people we have here in the North State.
And it's also heartfelt that these people would look, meaning the Patriot Writers and the school and everybody else, and the school supported it 100%. In fact, when they did the ceremony for this fellow that had no relatives, nothing, they presented the flag to the principal of Sacred Heart School, and it will be put in the proper place down there.
Yeah.
And this was a wonderful thing.
I tell you what, it is just extraordinary, the work that Fred Slonty and the Missing in America Project, the Patriot Guard Riders, the Old Guard Riders, the American Legion, all these people that come together to honor our veterans. And it's just extraordinary what they've done. And I sure appreciate this call, Jim, for you to share this with our listeners. That, you know, and this goes on all the time. This is not just something that happens occasionally.
Amen.
This happens weekly.
Thank you, Jim. It's a little slice of heaven to hear such positive news that's happening when we seem to be inundated with so many things that are just heavy. So
yeah.
Thank you for the uplifting information.
Yeah,
thank you for you guys.
Well, thanks a lot, Jim.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402, but they're pretty well locked on, so keep calling. Join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
It's my turn.
Well, I tell you whose turn it is. It's Roger.
Oh, Roger.
Roger, good morning.
Roger,
thanks
hi.
For waiting.
Good morning. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you for calling.
What's on your mind, Roger?
Well, same old topic. I want to talk about the RAU issue and the actions of the city of Reading. You know, following all this, I was at the meeting on the 20th. I saw the song and dance that they've kind of put on. And I've been watching, listening to the radio, watching the paper, and looking for statements from the city. And from everything I found as far as code being quoted from the public, the public's concerns, the information the public has uncovered, I haven't seen anything of any viability from the city. Okay?
I don't understand
how a governing body who works for us, that we gave a job to, that we pay for, how come they haven't come out and said, okay, this is what's going on, this is what we're doing, this is how we justify what we're doing, we understand your concerns, and this is what we're going to do. There has been no straightforward communication to the employers of the city council.
Right. Well, you know what? This is what I got from the 20th. All right. They came out, and they said, well, hey, you know, this is by law. And then you find out, well, maybe it's not by law, but it goes back to the city council. So what the city council did was they appointed a committee to study this, to tell them what to say, or to check on, you know, all the facts, quote all the facts, and then come back with a course of action, and to take 4 to 6 weeks to do this. Now, that is movement forward, but I also agree with you is that there's got to be something, Roger, in the interim that should be. Like on the 3rd, this is going to be discussed again next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, is there going to be like an interim report? Is there going to be something to the people that says, hey, this is what we're doing? Is there going to be a moratorium on tossing people out or turning off electricity till we find out, you know, really what's going on with this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this the kind of thing you're talking about? This is what you're looking for?
Well, what's getting me is the fact that they refuse to communicate with us, the public, the voting, tax-paying public. We put them there.
Yeah.
They have not responded in kind with any honest and straightforward response to any of the things that have been brought to light. You know, they're the fees and the fines that they charge are borderline extortion. I mean, it's ridiculous. But my main point here is say something. Don't give us misinformation like, oh, well, we've never evicted or abated anybody. Well, of course you haven't, because it's $2,500 a day if somebody stays.
Yeah, most people
leave. And there's
proof
of that.
Yeah.
So how easy it is for the city to say we've never abated anybody. Of course not. Who wants to rack up $17,500 a week in fines for staying in their house?
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that I don't think you should ever get to that point when people that are working poor should never get to that point.
It's illegal in many places around the country. It's illegal to shut off power in certain times of the year or even to abate somebody.
Yeah. Now, are you going to be there on the 3rd?
Absolutely, I'm going to be there on the 3rd.
Okay, well, we need to talk about that. Now that's going to be, what, at 6 o'clock?
The meeting starts at 7 o'clock. Anybody who wants to talk to City Council and address this issue is probably good to get there a little bit before 7.
Uh-huh.
So that you can get
the candlelight vigil. Isn't there a candlelight vigil?
The candlelight vigil, probably 6:30, 7. I don't know what parking's going to be like. I'm kind of wondering about that. But
park in the back.
Yeah, park somewhere. Be reasonable. Don't come and try to stir things up. This is a peaceful, responsible protest by adults.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, we're here to address an issue that's real.
That's right. You know what? And because of the actions everybody's taken on this, it is being addressed. Hey, Roger, we got the phone lines backed up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is something to really look at because, for instance, the Michigan man who was 93 years old who died from freezing to death, interestingly enough, I mean, you would think that there would be a red light. Say somebody's electricity was finally turned off. There somehow along the boards would be a light that would go off that people that are working for the utility company at that point go and check on these people because this man died a slow death. It showed that his oven door was open. It showed that his electric blanket was on. His heating pad was on. He was under 4 layers of clothing, and he just sat in his armchair and died a slow death. We actually found him on the floor. But people are starting to take a look at this now because that could be your neighbor.
That's right. Well, that's the other thing we need to talk about. Let's go to Roger. I'm sorry, Jeff. Jeff, good morning. Thanks
good morning.
For waiting.
Thanks, guys. I want to talk about, they're doing some budget cuts out there at Shasta College.
Yeah.
And basically, the heavy equipment class out there, the agricultural class, California's a big agricultural state, I know that.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to directly affect, I mean, a lot of people. It's going to affect me directly. I've been in construction pretty much my whole life, and I got a voucher from Workman's Comp to go out, you know, to try to get everything worked out, and, you know, they're going to cut this class.
You know,
and I would have to go to possibly Butte College, and Butte College is going to cut their classes, too.
Now, this is the heavy equipment class you're talking about?
Yes.
I know people that are taking that class.
Yeah.
So they're cutting that class out, huh, because of the budget cuts?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you something, Jeff. It's not going to get any better because what we've just heard is Chang has just put out that if there's not a budget signed by this weekend, by Friday.
That's tomorrow.
By tomorrow, nothing's going to get paid. Everything's going to be backed up. You know, you might get some education things paid. Now, the good news is, maybe the good news is, we heard through other sources that they may be coming up with a budget to be signed by tomorrow night. If that's the case, maybe that'll help. But you know what? I wouldn't hold my breath. And the fact is that cutting classes like that really hurts the people that need it the most and need these types of classes the most. These are the ones that are, you know, going to be building the infrastructure, which supposedly this stimulus package is supposed to be doing.
Well, and I can't believe they're cutting ag too, the agriculture.
I know.
That's just amazing, you know. We're a big farming state.
Yeah.
We grow everything.
You know, I don't know how they're doing. Maybe we'll get the people from Shasta College on and say, how do you figure this out? You do it by the number of people in the classes or what? I don't know.
You know, it's just, I can't believe it. Only 9% of the students supposedly transfer out to other colleges.
Yeah.
So that means everybody stays right here in the community. This comes right back out to the community.
Yeah. You know, Jeff, this is really a good point. You know what we're going to do next week because of your phone call? We're going to get Shasta College on and have them talk to us about this.
Great.
You know what? This is a good reason to find out because that last point you just made is true. You know, I've read that many times too, is that most of Shasta College students stay right here. And if these are courses they could use in this area, why are we cutting these back and why not cut something else out? Of course, then you say, you know, what are you going to cut out? And I think of things like, I know people are going to hate me for this, but, you know, maybe some of the music classes or things that...
Oh, no.
Okay, forget the music classes. Anyway, okay, Jeff, thank you so
barking
much.
Barking up the wrong tree
on
that
one. I'm going to hurt on that one. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Hey, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402, but you all seem to know that because they are lit up.
We'll see you on the other side.
News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Price selection quality. That's correct. 2225 Hilltop Drive. That's Four Winds Jewelry. Valentine's Day is coming up. That's where we got our wedding rings. That's where we get all the good stuff. Because we know that the owner is going to give you the best deal in town. Now, on that note, we really need to go to the phones, and you should don't even go what happened at the break.
So I'm just going to say, Joe, thank you for waiting.
Thank you, too. I just want to say you guys are a tremendous asset to this community.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, thanks a lot, Joe.
What's on your mind?
I've got some stats that I'd like to share with you if I could.
Please.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to add a little bit to your previous caller, Steve.
Sure.
I've done a little bit of research, probably not as much as him, in regards to local fires. And I found that in 2008, there were actually two fires that were started by an unattended burning candle.
Uh-huh.
Both were accidentally left by the occupants when they left their home. They were not, they had nothing to do with electricity being shut off.
Right up the street from us was one, yeah.
There you go. And then
right.
I did find one where it was reported that a man died in a fire by candles or a camp stove back in 2007. And REU had shut off this man's power. It was stated by fire investigators that his home was incredibly cluttered and the windows had been boarded up. Well, after I spoke to a family friend, I learned that this man actually had a long history of mental illness.
Mm. Right.
Which leads to another question. Along with evicting or abating people with life-threatening medical conditions and the mentally ill as well, what responsibility shall the city assume for these people that are forced to be homeless? And I think it's important to note that there's nowhere for the mentally ill to go in Shasta County.
Oh, and you know, Joe, if I could say this, you know, we had Dr. Montgomery on yesterday. If you were listening yesterday, we're on our show concerning suicide here in the North State. He said that they may be in danger with these budget cuts of even cutting back even more in our mental health programs here in Shasta County.
Well, you know, I would also suggest that to prevent fires by candles, which is actually only 4% uh-huh. nationwide, the only way to prevent them would be to make them illegal, and that's a ridiculous notion to say the least.
Yeah.
Somewhere people have to start taking responsibility for their own safety, and Big Brother needs to step back out of the risk of violating people's freedoms that are afforded to them in this country.
Well, you know...
Beautifully said, Joe.
It is, Joe, because if anybody that listens to this show knows that we are for individual freedoms, you know, taking responsibility for ourselves.
I've got a couple other things I want to touch on real quick because I know my time's limited.
Right.
I think it's very interesting to note that nearly half of Reading code enforcement caseload are referred by Reading Electric Utility after it cuts residences' power.
Mm-hmm.
I find that extremely interesting.
Wow.
And according to the National Fire Protection Association, cooking is the leading cause of home structure fires and home fire injuries. Smoking, which is legal, was the leading cause of civilian home fire deaths, and heating ranked in second for fire deaths overall, but was the leading cause in one or two family dwellings.
Uh-huh.
And 63% of home fire deaths in between 2003 and 2006 resulted from fires in homes with no smoke alarms or no working smoke alarms, which, by the way, rely on batteries.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
And I question the legality of abating people from their homes solely for the reason of shutting off their power.
No, you know, and that's the whole thing that I would like to see us get to is let's, before we even get to the point of shutting off power, why haven't we done everything in the world that we can?
Yeah, that's
to
a whole other
that.
Story. I've got a lot of statistics on some state codes and stuff, but
we've got
I'll save that one for another day.
Yeah, because we've got everybody, I mean, the phone lines are just blocked right now.
Hey, Joe, thanks for the call, and thanks
Joe,
for your...
thank you.
Thank yeah. you, guys.
Your research.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Good morning, Jan.
Hi. On the item of the city council being responsible for evicting people, indeed they are, and to pass it off onto a committee is abdicating their responsibility as elected people.
That's what I think.
And I find it interesting that they can give themselves a retirement... And that's fine. I mean, where's the money coming from? City council is city council. It's a community service responsibility and job, and we all should be involved. It's not a career. It's not there for retirement benefits. What are they thinking? And the other item I'm curious to know is how much does it cost? Initially, the city sent out every customer in their district mail, threatening mail, intimidating mail, saying how they are going to turn off power and evict people and blah, 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 blah. And they keep sending out those pink notices. It's like they want us to fail. They want my daughter to fail and her two granddaughters. They are hard workers. My daughter is a hard worker, and they're setting her up to fail, to just quit her job and throw up her hands. It's not fair. It is not fair what that city council is doing. I wish somebody would just recall the whole mess of them.
Well,
just
get rid of them. I tell you that this is why on February 3rd, that's a city council meeting. I think if enough people show up and say, hey, look, we want this thing changed. That's what people do. That's where you have an impact. You show up and you say, hey, look, we want what you're doing changed. It's not giving the people that are really trying a chance, and you're putting people in danger. What's going on here? Is this really what we want to be known for?
And you're right. I agree. And I wonder, is there a time? I've never been to a city council meeting here in town, but I have looked at their agenda. There's no time for the public. They put a limit on our free speech, on what they want to hear from us.
Well, they put a time limit because if there's a lot of people, otherwise, somebody's up there speaking for 20 minutes, it gets a long time. Hey, we have got to take a break here, Jan, but thank you so much for your phone call, and we're going to keep pushing this. Thank you.
This is Carla Linda Bott. It's 57 degrees out right now. If you're just tuning in, it's 8:50. Oh, we're taking your calls. The phone lines are lit up. This is Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We'll see you in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Carl and Linda Bott, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Don't forget, February 7th is, we promised to remind you that it's going to be the Shasta Women's Refuge Crab Feed. And, if you're not doing anything that weekend, make sure you get tickets and go out. But let's go to the phones.
Charles, thanks for waiting.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling because, just to remind everybody that the, public comment period for the Shasta Bali Towers is now the 15th of February.
Okay, now what do they have to do for that?
This is the plan where, one of the options considered is taking all the towers down.
Right. Now, but they have to, the public has a chance to talk about this, right?
Right, to submit comment, and they've got on their environmental assessment newsletter a list of six different alternatives, and what they want you to do is to submit a comment about what you think about
right,
which different alternatives, which one do you want to see happen, etc. And due to time constraints, I'm just going to go ahead and mention the website.
Okay, mention website.
parkplanning.nps.gov, and follow the links to Whiskey Town,
okay,
Recreation Area, Shasta Bali, Site Plan and Environmental Assessment Document List, Comment on Document, and it's a little bit of a labyrinth of links, but if you're patient to follow all that, you'll eventually get to the electronic form to submit your comments.
Yeah, because if we don't, you're going to see that some things that happen, like we could lose those. One, we could lose the towers completely, and if that's the case, there goes a lot of the fail-safe backups that we have here in case of a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much, Charles, for calling, and thanks for waiting.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Jim, 30 seconds.
On the Shasta College, if they were to cut the school year from to May 30th and then start it again in September the 30th, you could cut utilities, bus drivers, and teachers' wages and put them on unemployment where it's cheaper to take care of them on unemployment than it is to pay them wages.
That's if they get unemployment, not IOUs.
That's if the state is paying anybody anything after tomorrow.
Yeah, but you can get Then they'll be the same boat everybody else is in.
Yeah. Then you talk about equality. Nobody gets paid.
Yeah. So, I mean, let them be the same one. Don't let them, you know, get any more than anybody else.
Well, you know what, Jim? I think what we're going to do is we're going to call, get somebody from Shasta College that can talk to us about this, because this is pretty important now. Start cutting out things like this. What other ways are there possibly to save? And one of the ways maybe to start the school year, end it earlier and start it later might be a way to do it.
And who makes those decisions?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you get the heat of the summer, and it's cost a lot to run that air conditioner out there.
Yeah.
And then you got the school buses you got to run.
Yeah.
You got the drivers and all that. You could cut a lot of costs. If you cut those out, take a look at the figures then, I think they might be within their budget then.
Yeah, we can see it. Okay, hey, thanks a lot, Jim.
Okay, you bet.
All right. Well, you know, tomorrow we got our city council member on.
Mary Stiegel's going to be on tomorrow, be making your list and your calls. And again, we want to draw you to our website. We love your comments. That's freefireradio.com. We are always posting pictures and putting shows together for what you want to hear. Again, we are a conduit to you, the community, and we love being here at Reading Radio at KQMS so that we can do the show for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of things going on here. You know, we didn't talk a lot about them cutting out one day in the Postal Service. We're going to check on that one. We've got we're going to be talking about veterans issues next Monday. What's going on with Medicare? You know, Medicare is being is hammering our older, you know, of course the people on Medicare, but also our veterans. So look, this is Carl Linda Bott from Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?